Hey, we're back. Last time I'm going to say it, Sue. Welcome back. There's a little place next door, Hummingbird Hub. It's not quite next door, but it's 6331. It's just about two buildings away east of us here on Main Street in Stouffville. We usually drop in there for a few minutes after the show just in case anybody on the show wanted to meet us and maybe meet the guest, you know, if he or she is available and maybe have something to share. We've had somebody from time to time, and a couple have ended up on the show, so it's a worthwhile endeavor. We won't be there long, but we'll be there maybe, I don't know, 10 after 11 till 11:30. And as I say, we'll speak with anybody or listen to anybody or just be there for you. So, and by the way, while I think of it, folks, we do need a gathering place. We need a sharing place. And, you know, if we have somebody puts forward, whether it's a church basement or whatever, where we can have a meeting, Stouffville is an ideal place now to have a meeting. And, I've been thinking about it for years, and I lived up here for years, and it certainly, could be well used, put it that way. There's not too many parts of society that don't, hurt a little bit from something or other. And then part of this whole jail, part of this, ministry or service, if you will, has to do with, getting people familiar enough with what we do, and that's basically, you know, two pieces of literature and, five sheets of paper. You can go home and read some things and have your own meeting. But we'd like to see meetings put together by the people who have really suffered and want to change and pass that hope and help on to others. And, they're the only ones that can do it, you know, and we see the people who are closest to death by, being in jails with the addict in so many cases. If they end up in jail and they're an addict, they likely overdosed and something got them in there. And most of them are, who I meet lately, have been brought back. You know, somebody had a naloxone kit. The smart ones now know that they'll only do fentanyl and so on if someone's there with a naloxone kit and can bring them back if they go. And some have died 20 times, 15, you know, doing this stuff. And they're even saying now, one said to me, well, what do, you know, we know what we can do normally when we're addicted to coke or smoke or whatever it is, but, you know, with this, like, we just keep overdosing. What do? Where do we go? And I'm thinking, what do you mean? Is this a higher kind of addiction? Are you addicted to overdosing? You know, it almost sounded like that, and I didn't have an answer, but they're dropping like flies. It's horrible. And, you know, you can sit in a room with 10, 12 people, and if 8 or 9 of them have overdosed, you can almost look them in the eye and say, I hate to tell you this, but you're probably going to die. Mm. You know, I probably won't see you here next year. And that's the truth. Most of them will. You know, they will die. Doesn't seem to be a way out. So anyway, when we're in that, we need to help these people. And the ones who can make it for whatever reason, you know, God's help or whatever, we need to help them teach society from their level upward rather than from the educated downward. The educated who haven't been there haven't got a clue. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. There's a lot of educated street people who know exactly what another street person or another addict needs in order to get through it. And usually it's kind of what we do. It's just listening to people and being there, loving them and so on. And I don't even know if we could do it on the street, but I know we can do it in jail. See, when you think of, Thy will be done, part of our Lord's Prayer there. You know, how, and you answered it to a large degree, it's kind of part of a process, and we become willing, and I guess being willing means we've given up on our will, and we're surrendering that will to something higher, and, you know, and we're depending on that something higher, to help us make the right decisions in life. Do you have any way of knowing, other than just a sense in your gut or something, that a decision you're going to make is really not your own will, but something higher? Do you have any way to know or to have a good sense of, okay, for instance, in my case, if I do ask about a direction and something in prayer, if I'm overcome with a peace about just doing that, just asking for something, then I'll sense that whatever my thoughts were in that area were the right ones, and I'll go with it. On the other hand, if I ask for direction in something and relate one of my ideas, what I should do, and I, you know, feel full of anxiety or doubt or whatever, I just know I'm wrong, and I just don't do it. And if I don't seem to have any solution, I just don't go any further. As long as there's anxiety around anything, I don't do it, you know. Now, I'm not talking about just general fear about making a decision. That's okay. But if that anxiety comes in rather than the peace about what I thought was a solution, that's wrong, you know, because in my world, the higher power, God, does not give me anything that's a sense of anxiety or fear or that kind of thing. So that's my system. I mean, have you got anything that you use?
I don't know that it's really a system, because I can remember when I first got into this, I could see how my desire and my impatience were interlinked, right? And so it was very difficult for me to distinguish between my will and the will of a higher power, right? Because I'm an action person, and I'm, you know, my mind's always going. Yeah. And so, you know, whose thoughts are these? Are they actually mine? Like, if I wanted, and usually for me, when I needed an answer, I wanted it right now, because, okay, I'm at this point. Do I go left? Do I go right? Right.
Yeah.
So, but it never really happened like that for me, other than my seeing that my desire and my impatience were interlinked, right? Some big things I can, that have happened in my life have happened with me not even needing an answer. I mean, and it was an all sense of knowing. That's the only way I could describe it. Well, my latest situation, right? Mm-hmm. With you know, someone coming back to live in the family, right? Yeah. I was quite fearful of that, right? And yet, I had this sense that all will be well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep your mouth shut, just mind your own business. I've got this covered, all will be well. And I had that tremendous sense. It was a sense of knowing that somehow, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how could I not go with it? I went with it, because I hadn't even asked. I was fearful. I don't think I'd even asked for an answer. I was fearful of the situation that was about to happen, right?
Yeah.
And then I got this sort of peace, this knowing. It's an all-knowing somehow. It's just an all-knowing, and it just appears, you know? And I think that happens more when I'm not interplaying with it all, right?
Yeah.
In other words, I have surrendered everything. You know, it's so much easier. Even I don't know how it's going to work out, you know? I don't really know whether it would go this way, but today it is. It's perfectly fine. And it isn't like I was thinking it was going to be. So, you know, I have nothing to complain about. It's working out the way it is, but which direction it'll actually go in, I don't know, right? So every day, like you say, one day at a time, yeah. And I always think when I need to know something, that's fearful for me, because my mind works overtime.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know if that actually is me or a higher power?
Mm-hmm.
The only time I do know it's a higher power is when I haven't even thought about anything, and something, there's been a sense of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
It just came out of the blue, and I knew that it wasn't me, because I hadn't dwelled on it in any way, right?
Yeah.
So, I've had situations like that. Well, few biggies. So that's where your faith comes from as well, right?
Yeah.
You build on that.
Good answer, Sue. Thanks very much. One of the things that we ran across in programming over the years, or in these programs, these 12-step programs, was called the Four Absolutes. I don't know if you ever heard about that, but and what they are is basically four words, and if whatever we're looking for help on in terms of making a decision, it is said that if these four criteria are adhered to, then you can be pretty darn sure it's a righteous or a right answer, as opposed to anything that could be construed as evil or negative or whatever. Anyway, and these four are, and we ask ourselves this, and to be honest, I don't think it's even possible that everybody, anything would fit all of this, but these are the words. It's, well, is it honest? Is it done, is it a loving thing? You know, what are your decision? Is it done in love? Is the thought or decision, is it pure? And lastly, is it unselfish? Mm. And, unselfishness in and of itself is, I believe, virtually impossible for the human being, because there's nothing we ask for that really, even though in most cases we'll say, no, it's for that baby or for such and such and so on, it is really, well, if that such and such and so on is healed or saved or feels better, then I'm going to feel better. It's innate, you know, it's yeah, we do love all those things, but I mean, it's how we're going to feel if we lose them. Mm. That they're, you know, that's at the root of everything. But anyway, so the four things, I mean, that in and of itself is, you know, we're not created unselfish.
No.
So if you can be honest, loving, pure, and unselfish, you know, you're in, you know, do that thing, no matter what your feelings are.
The greatest of those is love, of course, because it encompasses basically the other three.
Trumps it all. And, you know, Trump is another story. We have to pack it in now. We got about a minute or so, but we got to pack it in and say, see you next week.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you'll share it. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.